Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Well, Kyle, here we are once again, you and I, trying to make sense of what the heck just happened. We are, I don't know what else to say, Kyle. Texas went into Lubbock, had a lead, collapsed in the second half is the only way I can describe it, and lost in overtime on a play that had literally never happened before, right? You can't blame one play on the for the entire game. There were a lot of plays, especially on Texas Tech's side. But just a freak ending to that game. Bijan Robinson fumbles in overtime. First career fumble, which is just incredible. Yeah. And Texas Tech kicks a field goal to win that one. And I'm at a loss for words, Kyle. All of the losses that we've had over the last several years, I'm once again just stumped.
Yeah, and look, just quickly we'll touch on it and then I'll let it go. The Bijan fumble, I know we have, like you said, a tendency to look at one play that defines the game, but they probably shouldn't have even been there, right? Such a perfect answer to the field goal on that last drive to even get, you know, in Bert Auburn range where he nailed one to even send it to overtime, right? Like, Texas, that was the first time since the third quarter, really the first half, that they looked like they weren't playing to lose. They were trying to win. And that one drive when they had to, and they had no other choice other than that, Tech looked like a team that was trying to win this game. In Texas, with that lead they built in the first half, looked like a team that was trying not to lose. You know, it's a road game, right? We said on the podcast this week, you'd find out a lot about this team when they take the show on the road, right? You have the confines of home. You have a young offensive line. It's all, everything's a little bit easier with your own fans. You know, the quarterback can quiet it when he needs to get the snapper communicate, right? It's a little bit tougher when you take it on the road, especially for the young offensive line, who I think struggled today, right? I think both of our lines probably struggled the majority of the game. Oh, yeah. This was not exactly the script that I think anyone saw playing out, even Joey McGuire, right? Maybe he always knew he was going to go for it every fourth down, but you have a quarterback who's you know, coming in and has been mistake prone. He's line hasn't been able to protect him very well. He's taken a lot of sacks, thrown some interceptions, and you know, Texas just kind of sat back and let him get his confidence up really in the first half and just kind of pick him apart with short passes, not force him to make any plays. They got a little pressure and then could never really get it consistently, right? And so I think though the Texas offense did not help their defense, right? They did not help their defense. It was just not complimentary football. They got off too quick. Their defense was on the, you know, almost 100 plays, right? It's just a lot to ask of even your most lithe defensive backs, right? But especially your big boys, it's a lot. Offense didn't help. Defense didn't execute. Couldn't get them off the field on fourth downs. Couldn't stop long third downs. Tech just, again, played winning football. Credit to them. They had nothing to lose, and they played like it. They ran some of the UTSA script. They ran some of the, you know, Texas against Bama script, right? Like, who cares if you lose? Go try to win. And they did it. Credit to them.
Yeah, and I think it's the defensive wear down at the end of the game is a little bit, I don't want to say excusable, but understandable. They, when regular – regulation of 96 plays. Like that is rarely happened in recent memory, right? There, yeah. Like 96 plays is ridiculous to be on the field. And I think the sequence that was emblematic for me of like the lack of complimentary football is that the defense gets a fourth down stop, right? They get a fourth and one stop and fourth and goal stop. And the offense goes three and out, punts it, right? Like, and that was to me the differentiator in the, not that specific drive, but that lack of like rewarding the defense for coming up with a stop. Texas punted the ball. It's final three. Well, I guess three of its final four offensive drives of regulation before the one to force overtime, which ended up not mattering in the end. But right, like those three drives are just kind of, like I said, emblematic of what the defense was unable to do and get off the field. And again, not all on the defense, right? The offense was unable to create space for them to catch a breath. They were unable to create space for them to get a play off. Texas did really well in some quick change defense spots. I was actually really, really impressed with some of the things that they did after the offense turned it over and went three and out. But when push comes to shove, 96 plays is 96 plays, and that's a lot to ask of your defense.
Yeah, and it looked like occasionally our offense was able to string some things together on talent alone. You know, three really long kind of runs that floated our average, and Bijan making some plays. Their running interior was difficult all game, almost impossible, right? It felt like our offensive line lost a lot at the point of contact. Keeping Card, you know, clean was a priority. And it just, we have a question here from Brian Cox. What's up Cox in the chat. We hit on that one right off the stop, just cause it's the beginning, the Bijan fumble, I think bad luck, first career fumble. I mean, guy hits the ball, right? That's always you can't do anything about that. Maybe you ask a guy to put a second arm on the ball, he's falling backwards, just good play. Right. But I mean, that's emblematic, I think, of Tech's defense. To their credit, in the second half, Tech played winning defense. I mean, they came in and they said, okay, Texas has done this to us, we'll make adjustments. And it felt like Texas didn't have, and we've said this how many times in the Sark era, as much as I like Coach Sarkisian, it's a tale of two halves often, right? And it is when the defense counters and takes away what you're doing, what do you counter back with? And again, you're without Quinn Ewers, your top quarterback. You're without Xavier Worthy for three-fourths of that game. By far, your main – that probably changed the game more than Ewers, honestly. It took the ability to take the top off the defense. When both he and Isaiah Nair, obviously, your second, your two best receiving options are out. And at one point, Whittington goes out. Tatavian Sanders is out for a bit with a little injury picked up on a punt coverage. That's why Tariq Milton had the big catch on the has to be home run play. I mean, that you just be down receiver number 6-7 on the depth chart. Kudos to Milton for making the play when he was called. But you know, that's his first catch of the year, right? Like that's we've said Texas is not as deep as they would like to be, especially when you take your number two guy out for the season. We know that, right? Yep. You have to be able to respond. You had two healthy running backs who you like to think are two of the best in the country. You have to find a way to get them the ball. If the line can't you know, give them quick handoffs, like we got to get them in the flats. We have to do something, right? There's enough talent, even with guys out. There's enough talent that you have to be able to make the play, whoever is out there. Again, it's on the road. It's a hyped-up crowd. This going for it that many times on fourth down, this was a coach saying, this is my Super Bowl. This is, I want to win this at all costs. This is the, we're an underdog, we're not supposed to win playbook. And they executed it, to their credit. Coach Joey McGuire went out with the script, like a small school that isn't as talented, isn't as resourced, and you know, has a big team on the ropes, did. And they executed that playbook, and they did it, to their credit. So, you know, good upset win by Tech.
And I think some of the frustration is on the talent, but some of the frustration is on the play calling as well. I think there's a reason why Sark didn't go back to the Wildcat after that fourth and one stop, right? And like that for me is really where the game turned. When you think about Texas got to stop defensively, the offense was driving, had a chance to really get to put Texas Tech really out of it, right? It was a chance to go up three scores and really force Texas Tech to go away from what they want to do and force really, you could pin your ears back at that point, right? Texas Tech had the number of that Wildcat package. They knew it was coming. They scanned it, they schemed it, and they really sniffed it out every play. And so that play call right there was a turning point in the game for me. That's where Texas Tech started to feel the mojo, and that's where I started to feel like, oh, this is probably going to go sideways on us pretty quickly. Like, to me, the inability to pick up those gutty plays and really adapt to what the defense is getting you in the second half was a struggle for Sark. And let's just call a spade, right? Sark is one of the better play callers in the country. Sure. But the inability, as we've seen the last 2 years, really, for Sark to adjust and adapt in the second half when the defense is changing something, shifting something, or what you schemed up in the week isn't working like you thought, that to me was problematic. That to me was concerning. Again, why do you go to the Wildcat there? You've gotten 0 yards on it. Or why do you go to that wild, the zone read there, Wildcat? Like, just you take advantage of the extra blocker. Tech is crashing down in the middle. Like, take advantage of the fact that you've got an extra blocker in there and just run it. Like, there are other formations. There are other, like, Texas didn't go to the diamond this game. I would have loved to see them go to the diamond this game. I'd love to see them.
Not since the first drive, the opening script had it, and then not again.
Exactly, right? So go back to that, right? Go to the two-back sets that you had a lot of success with. Like, go 22, like, have two tight ends and two running backs in there. Have a zero wide receivers on the field. Go do something else, right? Yeah. That, to me, I think was the biggest frustration from the coaching and from the, well, we'll talk about the defense and the lack of just, like, letting them dink and dunk you for 60 minutes defensively. Like, The defensive coordinator is always the least popular person in town, right? We don't live in that. But for 2 weeks in a row now, you've been soft underneath, and teams have taken advantage of it. You've given them 3 yards off the ball. They throw a quick slant, and they turn it in. Sometimes they take the three. Sometimes they take 15. And that, to me, I think, is emblematic of a defensive coordinator that's not finding the rhythm of the game, not really able to adjust and shift. And so, and there were obviously there are spots that you can blame also on the players, right? Jumping off sides, and then twice
on third
and
downs.
Then not turning around for the ball on third downs, on third longs. And by the way, the fact that if it's 3rd and 23, pass interference causes a first down is frustrating. And whatever,
it is what it is.
Yeah. It is what it is. It's the rule, right? It's the rule you got to deal with. But like, that to me is on the players, it's not on the coaches.
Yeah, I mean, look, right? Like, you're absolutely right. They ran the UTSA playbook, right? It was not that Texas didn't know what they were going to do. They put it on tape. UTSA did it with Frank Harris. I have a mobile quarterback. I feel like I can keep your pass rush from getting home long enough that I can get the ball out of his hands. I think you looked at a less experienced quarterback. He's bigger than Harris. Has a little bit of a bigger arm for sure. But still, I mean, a guy's been mistake prone. So what do you do? Get the ball out of his hands with the most high percentage completions you can have, you know, 4 yards across the middle. Like, everything he did was the high completion stuff, and you have to know that. A team did it to you last week. You have to see that. And again, while they started off like the really long drives converting fourth downs, you know, that's what they did, and Texas responded, forced a couple punts, but then it felt like they didn't have another trick. I mean, 299 to 154, Tech basically doubled Texas's yards, which is on the offense and the defense. But I mean, that's not okay, right? That's just not, you know, you have a game, you have to stop them. I think Brad had the comment, right? Were we too conservative the first 55 minutes? I do think a lot of that last drive was Tech going prevent defense, right? Like, it opened up some stuff that wasn't there all game. I don't know that throwing it downfield again with the injuries we had at wide receiver would have necessarily been the best, right? Like, I think at that point, just I would have liked more wrinkle plays to get running backs into space, right? That's what I would have preferred. I think we tried to get Sanders involved, which was good, but you know, it's like when it's Bijan, it's Roshan, it's Whittington, and it's Sanders. That's who you want to count on, right? When you're going outside, when you're throwing it deep, and you don't have Xavier Worthy, you're cycling guys in who made, I mean, this is a Jahiz Hall first real game, right? And he played a lot, right? Like, this, I mean, he played a lot. So you know that the familiarity isn't there. Your backup quarterback is there. I don't necessarily like that, especially because we knew it coming into the year, and we've seen it so far this year. Card strength is not the deep ball. It just isn't. And so, you know, I would have liked to see something a little bit more aggressive just in the scheme, right? If you're going to run the Wildcat, now's the time you bring out the wrinkle, right? If Hudson Card is healthy enough to be out there, he's a high school receiver who was really, really good. Pop one of them out. Just see what happens, right? Like, try something different up to the point that it becomes more predictable than if you at least line up and you have a run pass option, you know, any other ways on fourth down, right? It just felt like, I don't think we had to take huge shots and throw the ball three times more than we did. I just think we had to be a little less conservative in the play calls. Three and outs. I mean, there was honestly a Casey Kane pass interference on a third down that we would have had three consecutive three and outs if not for that, right? In that game when Gerald was referencing kind of peaked down. So there's a lot to break down. We'll get into it a little bit more and into the specifics. Just, I think the high level takeaway is you went on the road. You just got punched in the teeth. A team that wanted it way more than you did. That's the part that as a coach, you're going in this week and you're saying, hey, boys, wake up. It's Big 12. We said you beat Alabama great. You lose to Alabama great. Our goal is to make it to the Big 12 championship game. That has been stated. Well, you're 0-1 in Big 12. You went on the road, your first test away from home, and you looked like another team wanted it more than you, had more heart than you. That's the thing that has to be resolved this week. They have to figure out next man up mentality. Where there's going to be injuries. I do think this says Ewers probably comes back quicker than later. OU's 2 weeks away. West Virginia is a good team. So it's, you know, you have to win next week. You have to go into OU with some momentum and hope to take that one. So not the start you want in conference. If we said this was an 8-win team, we said we were going to go 2-1 in the off season, or in the non-conference during the off season. We said we would drop one that we didn't expect in Big 12. We're on script. Just go out and change the narrative, play with heart and win some, and the things are still there. The season is not over, but this leaves a terrible taste in your mouth. You lost to a team that was not better than you by any stretch, but absolutely wanted it more than you, and that's hard to swallow.
They may not be the more talented team, but they were absolutely the better team on the field today. And that is embarrassing. That is disgusting. There's no two ways around it. Like, Texas Tech came out and wanted it more than you. They took your cookies. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to come out and you're going to lay down? Are you going to roll over? Or are you going to come back out, get your swagger back against West Virginia, and then go into the Cotton Bowl and see what's popping? Like, that's the choice that happens this week in that locker room. That's the choice that all these players have to make, right? So we'll be back on Tuesday with our full breakdown. We'll have a lot more analysis then. This should be in your podcast feed on Sunday if you weren't able to join us live. Thank you all so much for joining us. You can catch us again on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays is our recap show. Thursdays is our preview. We'll be back for West Virginia. You can follow us on Twitter at Longhorn Pod. Follow me on Twitter at GH Gooders. Follow Kyle on Twitter at
Kyle Carpenter.
There you go. Tried to lob it up, but much like Texas, we did not take advantage of it. Thank you all so much. We'll catch you next week. Welcome.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.